Right.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, bear with me.
Good
Yeah,
luck.
I knew you'd like it. All right, we'll open it up to public comment. Anybody not on the agenda?
Something clear.
All right.
I'm here for Summerfest, but just more curiosity. The new Hamburg signs out here and out there, there's no population on it. Why is that?
You have to ask the county.
Is that county?
Yep.
Okay. It's like Bongards, Gotha, unincorporated cities don't have
I can
population.
infer on that. Let me check.
Okay. I just thought it was odd, and it makes us look like we're not even a city, in my opinion.
Never noticed it.
I grew up in Gotha.
Neither.
There's no population. I mean, Bongard, same deal. So I
I'll
just
look
thought it
into
was
it.
odd. So that's it. Just mere curiosity.
Okay, thanks.
It's not that far.
Was it on the old one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
578.
Yeah, new number.
Yeah.
Even five something.
Isn't
That closet if you really want to
it upside down?
All right. There's no further public comment. We'll move on to the agenda review. Well, there's nothing to add. I'll look for a motion to approve as written.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Councilman Poplar, second.
All right. Motion's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as written. All in favor, say aye.
Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzina, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed? Passes. I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
Councilman Paulzina, second.
All right, motion's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Paulzina, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed? Passes. Move on to Hamburg Fire Department. You're up, Chief.
Good evening, Assistant Mayor and Council. I really don't have a lot to talk about. I see National Night Out was on here. Just touch briefly on that. Seemed like it was a good turnout down there overall. Our Assistant Chief Nick Mockentoon brought a fire extinguisher simulator down there, and that seemed to be a big hit with the kids. I seen multiple kids go through multiple times, trying to beat their friend's high score and stuff. You know, whoever could get the fire out the quickest. So yeah, with that and showing off our new CPR device, I seen a few people going and checking that out. How it operated. We had a couple members showing basically step by step how we would get to a patient, assess them, and then get them onto the machine. Well, I mean, I thought it was a good time, good turnout. Are there any questions about it? You look
No,
like you had a
no.
question.
I was just as you were saying the kids. It's all my kid could. My 10-year-old for sure. That's all he could talk about was that fighter machine and it's done 6.9. I think is what. Yeah. That was definitely a hit.
Yeah. So if you have nothing else with National Night Out, I know we had talked about doing a splash pad or something along those lines. And then Nick came up with that a little less invasive, you know, not sending everyone's kids home wet and not turning the park into a mud bog either.
Does
So.
anybody know? Does that blow up? Is it got holes in, or is it just
Big dinosaur.
collecting dust? Or
The one that's in that burger shed, is
is
that
that
a lion's?
yeah?
I have
Just
no idea.
wondering. I haven't
I
seen.
thought, I don't know, maybe Johnny remembers. I thought I'd asked him a while ago and I think they said there were some holes in it and they were patched, but it may not be 100%, but I'm
I'll
not,
look
don't hold
into
me to that.
I think the last time it was used was Zoomerfest a couple years ago.
We've since we started the new round of Zummerfest, we've borrowed NORAD Young America Fire Department's. They let us use theirs for free. So I don't even remember. I think the one that the Lions had, that was a pretty good sized one, wasn't it? Kind of like a obstacle course type deal. but I haven't seen it up in quite a while. Suppose the one lion member isn't here. if there's nothing else with National Night Out, I will move on to Zummerfest celebration. I know Johnny is here to talk about it as well. Things are moving forward. We would like to close down Railroad Street again, starting at Know-It-Alls there, and then going about, ooh, I don't know, a quarter of the way down. All right, Johnny? Right by Andy and Gene Steers there. I know I get a hold of the county as well and let them know that that road will be closed off for whatever time periods we have it closed off for. That way, if they get a police call or ambulance call, they know that it's closed and can reroute them accordingly. So looking to get that approved through you guys.
That's resolution 2025.
Yeah, so that basically would be looking to approve resolution number 2025-09. Basically, the resolution authorizes off-premises liquor services, declaring it a community festival. And then also in the ordinance does talk about that the designated areas for liquor would be the fenced off area and by Centennial Park.
Okay. Council, have anything else to discuss on that?
I make a motion to approve resolution number 2025-09.
Also Poplar second.
Okay. Motion's been moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2025-09. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Polzin, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed? Passes.
You need a gavel up there. This is just not,
it's too smooth.
Chris, before I leave, and I can let Johnny talk, he's got something else about Zummerfest. Just to let you know, next month I will be bringing the para-retirement back to City Council. We just got a report here in the last couple days, but I was too busy to get it all prepared for you guys. The market was good to us. I think what it said, we were at like 124% funded. So we went way up in the funding level, the interest, all that stuff works out. But I'll come back. Just want to, remind you guys, we talked about it last year, instead of doing big increments, all at once, come back every year and basically see what the numbers say and then make a decision based on what the numbers say, how things are tracking. So I will be bringing that, next month's meeting. So we can start looking at that before budget stuff.
Yeah.
So that was a good timing because that's when we'll start kicking off the budget process.
Yep. So, and when I looked at the numbers just briefly, there's room to, make an increase with, again, zero contribution from the city. They did a couple numbers and then jumped to like $3,300. And I think $3,300 was at like 95% funded, and we're at 23 right now. So you get from basically 23 to 3,000 in that window, it still wouldn't cost the city much of anything. Mm-hmm. So, but I'll get some concrete numbers and bring them back to you guys to, and we can figure that out as the budget process moves on.
Yeah. Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right. Unless you guys got anything else for me, Johnny, you want to holler about your...
One random question.
Yeah.
I've just noticed it at a couple of parks lately, those CPR machines, you brought that up, like parks are installing them. Is that something that they're
going towards? So parks are doing more of the AEDs, like those,
mm-hmm.
because sporting events. So a lot of... like baseball, football, basketball, like schools are having them, but in the summertime when they have like little league games or like Crow River softball or baseball, they're starting to put AEDs at fields so that if a kid, it's happening more and more, we're seeing if a kid goes into cardiac arrest, even a parent can at least get that started and get an initial shock if needed to, get the heart started again. So we're coming to a time, and I'm actually working with Carver County and another initiative to I think it's called like a Heart Smart Initiative, where we're trying to get on a basically a nationwide app in Carver County to basically let everyone know where there are defibs. So like here, there's one out of the church, one out at the school, up at the community hall, we have them. So we're working with Carver County to get on this app. So if you have access to the app, you can basically say, oh, Hamburg has one at the city hall, you know, at the community center. It costs like $10,000 a year to start up, and it's like $10,500 a year to keep it up. So trying to figure out that cost between, each city or each department in the county, you know, Hamburg's got a half a dozen of them and Chan has 30. So trying to figure out where that percentage lies. But that's what you're seeing more of is the AEDs, the CPR machines like we have. Those are a little bit more of you need proper training on them. Like the AEDs, the defibs, you go open up that pack, it'll tell you step by step exactly what to do, where to put the pads, whether or not to push the button. A 7-year-old kid could do it without any issue.
Coaches you through CPR too, doesn't it?
Yep. What's it?
It coaches you through
CPR. It will coach you through CPR. Yep. There'll be like a little sound in there. It'll tell you to start CPR, and it'll be a little beep, beep, yep. Beep, beep, you know, telling you when to make your compressions. So, they're popping up all over the place, sports fields. I mean, Central School has them in their gymnasiums and stuff. So, they're becoming everywhere.
That's good.
Yeah,
just curious.
Yeah, no, I mean it's great technology to have around. I know in some places, if they are in outdoors in the wintertime, they get pulled in, they don't do well in cold weather. Even if we go to a call and say we're at it for an extended period of time, and it's one of ours is in a compartment that's not heated, they'll only be good for about an hour. If they start to cool down real rapidly, then they can't deliver that battery power that they need to. You know, batteries don't always work well in cold weather unless, but as soon as you get them warm back up, they're good to go. So a lot of times any outdoor ones you'll see will get pulled in the winter before winter.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else from Chief?
Just thanks for everything, for at National Night Out.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Lions and Emmanuel too.
No, we're happy to help.
Sheriff's Office and the Posse.
Yeah. It's a good, time. Anything else for me?
Nope.
Sounds like
you want to do your thing now, or are you waiting until later?
No, right.
Is that all right?
I don't know what you think this.
Well, thanks for your support for Zummerfest again. We have a new idea. Kickball has been going kind of just down the hill last few years. It's hard to get teams. So a new idea was brought to the table by a member to do something called cow pie bingo. So what that is kind of what it sounds like.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And basically it'd be like 100-foot by 100-foot roughly fenced in area down by the ball field with squares spray painted with numbers, and people pay, you know, $5-$10. We don't know yet if it gets approved per square. And then wherever the cow decides to relieve itself, on whatever number, that person, it's a 50-50 drawing. So 50% of it goes to the fire department, 50% goes to that winner. So it's an interesting concept. Took me a few meetings to kind of get on board, but it sounds interesting and fun. Chris Feltman would be in charge of the cows. He stated that, you know, they're very calm cattle. He shows them in the fairs. There would be a fence, obviously. So just thought I'd bring that up because we weren't going to just go do that without permission, because it's a very unique deal. So
who cleans up the bingo pieces at the end?
Probably Chris Feltman's son.
Okay. Cameron. Retrieve the fertilizer.
So we've had horses down there and llamas during Zummerfest, just, you know, on reins, just walking around. And obviously that feces always gets cleaned up by the owners.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. It could bring people in. It could be a fun talking point throughout the years if it were to continue.
Where would you put it? Where are you thinking?
Probably in the
in the field closest to the tractor pull. So to the west side.
Oh, okay.
And in the grass. We're thinking, but
like left field of that ball.
Field. Left field, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, just a new idea, and thought I'd bring it up to you guys.
Yeah. My favorite part, council.
You have to think about it.
Yeah.
$1,000 a square make national news.
Right.
Everybody's ever done it.
And I've never heard of it until it got brought up.
The day Nipple Nipple Day used to do it when I was a kid. They had, I remember, all one of the fields out in Waconia, ball field, basically exact same thing as what Johnny's talking about. They had it. I was too young. We never participated, but I was walking around and able just waited.
And then this is going to be like a couple
hour day. Well, so it was brought up that we'd, if it were to go through, that we'd do one round for the kids and then two rounds for adults. You know, so we might have a smaller area for the kids. We don't know. It's all just kind of just talk. I think just one. Pretty sure. So
pretty 4 hours for the area. I mean, it's,
yeah.
Farm community.
Right. It's already kind of a, you know, ag type event, a little bit country event.
Yeah.
Tractor pull, car rolling, farm animals.
I mean, it's different.
It's definitely different. Definitely. But like I said, it took me a few moments to gather my thoughts as well. So I get the silence. But after thinking about it, I was like, you know, that'd be kind of fun. Be a talking point. But
I mean, it's different. If it doesn't work, then
right,
don't do it again. I don't.
I guess my only thing would be that there's coverage for liability.
I was just gonna say liability.
I mean, that always comes into play. Hey, can you get insurance for
like, well, Jamie has her insurance.
I know, but does it cover that event? That
so she be, added the tractor pull.
That would be the question.
Right.
Because sometimes you may need some type of special.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming it'd be the same coverage as like a petting zoo would have.
That's yeah, all. That I'm that's thinking. They're in a fence. I mean, it's, and if you bad horses and llamas, it's the same principle as a petting zoo.
What kind of fencing are we talking? Secure well, fencing or snow fencing?
It'd be snow fence because that's what we have. And if it came down to it, you know, we could put a long rope on it so it was able to go everywhere, but still, you know, tie it to a secure pole or something to make it more safe.
Chris Felton did, he when we were talking about it, he said, these are my show calls. He said, so these are at Harbor County Fair. So kids are touching them, laying on them, you know, they're used to noises and chaos. We even offered to bring one in here if you guys wanted to try it out.
We're good.
but he said they are very docile creatures. So he didn't seem very concerned at all. With the tractor pull noises going on, they said they're so used to sounds and everything and chaos they don't care.
They just heard a tractor pull last Friday night, Saturday night. they're well accustomed.
Yeah.
I really don't care. I mean, it's something different.
I mean, I guess it's fine with me if we can figure out. Just so there's no liability on our end. I mean, I think it's a good idea. Something else to raise money and get people interested, I guess.
So do we need a motion for that? Looking for a motion to approve Cow Pie Bingo for 2025 Zomerfest.
I make a motion to approve Cow Pie Bingo for 2025 Zomerfest.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to approve Cow Pie Bingo for the 2025 Summerfest celebration. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pauline, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed? Passes. Cow Pie Bingo.
All right.
So with that, just the one stipulation I'd have is just have her check.
Yep.
That there's, that'd be covered.
Yep.
Yeah. CYA.
Mm-hmm. And if there is, if she can't get coverage, or we won't do it.
Okay.
But it, basically, that motion was pending coverage through the game. Yep.
Do we need to amend the motion to say that?
Yeah, if you just amend that.
I amend the motion to approve Cow Pie Bingo for 2025 Summerfest, depending on insurance coverage.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to amend the motion for Cow Pie Bingo pending insurance coverage for 2025 Summerfest celebration. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pauline, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed? Passes.
All right. Thanks for your support again, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll see you down there.
Yep. All right. We'll move on to old city business. We've got first public nuisance violations, public nuisance for PID 45.028, 2020.
Touch base on a few nuisances that letters we've sent out, people have addressed. If you know any others, let us know. Let me know. The other ongoing public nuisances that we sent to court for PID 45028-2020, had the court hearing, and actually nothing came of that hearing, for they decided to go to trial. So now it will go to trial for them nuisances, and that will be November 5th. Other than that, that's all I got on that current case. So I will keep you updated and informed on them nuisances.
Besides that, when you said all the other public nuisances have been addressed?
Yeah, Chadwick took care of his weeds. There was Sam Newbloom. He came in, kind of started on it, said he was going to finish it tonight.
Yeah, I saw him working on there.
And then there's a few others that will be going out about trees, but I think one's already taken care of. Some of their debris with their trees. So I've talked to a few on that, but I think who else would be some nuisance?
Dead tree.
There's a dead tree one that we'll be addressing.
Yeah. You're talking about trees that are still laying down from the storm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there's still a few of them.
This one is actually standing.
This one's actually dead though. Yeah. But
I know.
Previously, we were just trying to address some of the people that haven't addressed or cleaned up their trees that could be a possible liability issue. And along with that, just to make sure council's on the same side, but with the ponds, the brush pile out there, it's probably tripled, I'd say. So we are looking into getting prices next year to chip that or haul that away, because we will need to now after these last couple storms. But with that, I would have to think council's in agreeance that anybody bringing out brush of the piles for people that pay taxes?
Yeah.
Within city limits?
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
So you did have one dispute that. That's yes, outside town, but we did tell them it's for
not much of a dispute.
So
city property.
Just so we're all on the same page.
On top, this is just a question. Just, and I think I know the answer, but I did see a lot of bigger trees go out there that I know aren't supposed to. I'm guessing it's against city policy to have people that maybe want firewood to go out there and cut that up. I'm not saying like for anyone I know. I'm just saying in general, if someone inquires about it, because my parents had this on the railroad where they came through, knocked down a couple hundred trees and just piled them up on their property. And then they just let anyone
never against things. But again, it's the liability.
Well, right. And that's what I was bringing up.
And right now, the way that pile is out there, I wouldn't advise anybody to go out there and try to dig out
right
something and cut up, because it's
it's kind of a hosh-posh mess, to be honest. We need to. Well, I wanted to bring Miller's
question in case someone asked, pile like, it up, but they could go cut free wood out there or whatever. I'm assuming it was an insurance thing, but
it always is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good. He was taking trees out that didn't even really come out. Just got cut happy.
All right. Any more discussion on public nuisances?
I got nothing.
All right. We'll move on to next item, call out pay for employees.
So I put in there, had some wording, ran it by our attorney through a personnel committee meeting. Just in there on call outs, for basically exempt employees, which pretty much is myself, to be honest, is just that we would change that the $50 a day for scheduled rounds on weekends and holidays, and then also a minimum of 2 hours of overtime pay at current public works pay for being called out after regular work hours, work duties, when you're on call in place of our public works. So this is something we had talked about and kind of had a meeting, but we didn't have the language last year already. So I'm bringing it forward to the council to make that amendment to the handbook or to strike it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I kind of thought we already approved that.
Yeah.
I thought we
approved. We did, but we didn't approve the language.
Oh, okay.
So you're just saying a motion to approve.
Okay. Make a motion to approve the language for call-out pay for employees into the employee city handbook.
Councilman Poplar, second.
It's been moved and seconded to amend the language in the employee handbook for call-out pay for employees. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pauline, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed? Passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last item under old city business is cameras for the park and city office.
So as you can see, we have the cameras out here at the office. Jason's putting one more camera at the hall too by the garbage dumpsters, where we've been having a lot of illegal dumping. And when that happens, we get charged $35 an item. So, I mean, it's kind of fine and dandy until, right, it starts hitting the pocketbook.
Yeah.
So just a idea there, and then a couple cameras will be going up at the baseball park, too.
Yeah. And that's the cameras we discussed last meeting. That's
correct.
That.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
How are cameras doing at the current park?
I know we had an issue. That will be a budget discussion. It's okay. On our wish list for upgrading that, yes.
All right. There's nothing else in old city business. We'll move on to new city business. First item is fence repair for the east ball field.
Yeah. So basically what that is that'll be an insurance claim that from the storm end of July, where we had the big winds come through, took out one of the trees in the park. Basically, we took out about a 50-foot section of fencing on the east ball park there. So we did get two estimates. One from Midwest Fence for $3,993, and then one from Century Fence for $3,549. So what we'd be looking for is to take the lower quote from Century Fence at $3,549.
I make a motion to approve the Century Fence bid for the fence repair for $3,549.
Councilman Poplar, second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the bid from Century Fence for $3,549 to repair the fence for the east ball field. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Pauline, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed? Passes. Century Fence. All right. Moving on to 2026 budget items.
All right. So some of the, me and Jason been sitting down going over. So I'll start having everything ready for next council meeting so we can start our budget process. Me and Jason have already, of course, started it. putting our 2026 wish list together right now. Some of the big items on there is what we're looking at this year is probably the roofing for this site. There's spots in the roofing on the fire hall side that are pretty bad. We had LP Construction come up and kind of do some patchwork to buy us some time. But we're looking at probably about 20 grand for that. Also looking at, and this will be, that's more so a need. We got some other wants that we've looked at. Main things have been like hall improvements, the bathrooms, upgrading the bathrooms. So then I'll jump into the big one that's been proposed to us this week was the Hunt and Fish Club. Their shack is in disarray, and they don't know if they want to put $15,000 to $30,000 into a new one. So what they wanted staff to bring forth to council was if there would be any interest in putting a commercial type kitchen in the basement. And this would come from money fundraised or donations from clubs or what. So what they'd be looking to do is kind of put a commercial basement downstairs back behind where the bar is. And it's a napkin thought right now, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to move forward with it until get a feel from what council's thoughts are. They're open to that. I mean, the thought process they had too is if they put a commercial type kitchen down there, maybe we could rent it out for other type events or things, or maybe other people would use it because there's, you know, they'd have the fryers and that in there. Maybe the clubs would do more things, or other clubs would even maybe come in and use it. But something to think about. I told them we will run through with that. You know,
do they know roughly what a commercial kitchen would run?
They were talking 30, 40, but I'm thinking more like 60, 80.
Right.
You know, when you start getting into all the health regulations, you know, that you got to meet, and everything's got to be stainless.
How often do they use it?
You know, as of right now, I mean, it's twice a year that basement gets used, to be honest.
I mean, to put a fryer in, though, like, would that be used?
Well, they would put in the proper ventilation and everything, because that was our concern.
Right.
So we met with the Hunt and Fish Club, and me and Jason did yesterday. And because Jason's concern, too, was then smell, right? You know, so they were talking they'd have ventilation that would, you know, be able to handle almost anything. You know, and I don't even know if it's a reality to moving forward, because, you know, always comes down to cost, you know, affordability. But, you know, the other options I talked to them about was, you know, we put that slab out there for placement, that maybe if they wanted to build a structure on that too, versus a whole new, you know, revamping the basement. I mean, I know we've talked for years about doing something with that basement.
I was just gonna say, what's that space used for now?
Just nothing. It doesn't even get rented now. It's mainly storage. You know, and the other thing, though, is if you do that and want to rent it up or what, there's also going to be improvements needed in the men's and women's bathroom, don't they, too?
Right.
Yeah. You know, so it's kind of, you know, it's like when you get that honey to-do list, mm-hmm. and that $100 project turns into...
Yeah,
every
remodeling's a
whole. Yeah, right. So
as much and twice as long.
I go get through bowling lands.
It'd be awesome. I mean, really, it'd be a commercial kitchen and right. Bowling, and you'd have a pretty good party, you know.
I mean, is it fair to ask them or somebody with the Hunt and Fish Club to come up with a more accurate number, and then also maybe elaborate a little bit on what they're thinking of, you know. What funds are going to be? I mean, right now,
yeah, it's
kind of a neat idea, know, depending on.
That's why I say it's kind of a napkin thing right now. And if the council had interest, I think maybe then they would maybe do I would then request a rough sketch.
I got interest in this.
Cost estimate.
Yeah, I don't see, we don't have anything to lose to see where it goes. But if it becomes...
The whole idea of that meeting, that trailer, I think you touched on it. Remodeling, it's going to be 20, 30 grand. So like that holds by a trailer and build on it. Well, how much is that going to cost? 30, 40 grand. Well, why not stick that money into the building that's already there?
And something permanent.
I like the idea.
Yeah, I do too.
Adding fryers. So.
As long as they got, it's got to be boo-boo ventilation.
Right.
Because it's
frying anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that smell doesn't just...
Especially just fish. Linger. Especially fish.
Right. I mean, you know, Jason deals with it, you know, on the public works side, you know, when it's just the fish that aren't being fried down there.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't just go away either. But you guys have all stepped inside of any bar with a deep fryer. I mean, you can smell it. So that would be...
That and the disposal.
Disposal and, you know, proper cleaning when it's done. So if it does get used, you know, if you got a wedding a week after the fish fry.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be that.
Yeah.
I mean, but like I said, if they have it spec'd out to where, hey, this ventilation is, they're guaranteeing it's going to take care of it, have at it. You know, if it's the club's money and they're looking to, you know, stick it into a city building, why not? But like you said, then you start looking at like the bathrooms down there, would probably end up coming out of city monies, you know. I don't know how much the club is. I haven't been at a lot of meetings for a bit, but I know they were just I talked to the president the other day, and he said, well, the fire department could use it. I'm like, we could, we probably won't, just because we only do Zummerfest and our pork chop dinner outside of like Griffin's in our calendars. So,
and I think that's the feel they're looking for too.
Yeah.
You know,
if we were to start like a pancake breakfast or something like that, then yeah, that would be huge to have that there. But normally when the fire department does things, we do it in-house. The way people come and can look at the fire trucks and do this and do that. You know, pancake breakfast, that's more of a, feel like a wintertime type of deal. Banquets, we do it, but it's not our leader. And that's all catered. You know? All right. Cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kicking around, in my opinion.
At least put some rough sketch together or something, or cost, you know, ballpark estimates.
And then
maybe if it's even worth pursuing.
Yeah, and I think the biggest concern talked about here is going to be the ventilation.
Yeah.
The smell would be the council's biggest concern right now.
Yeah, I think that's staff's too.
So at least that if they move forward with plans, you know, if any of the ventilation needs to be oversized versus
right.
But anyway.
Okay. All right. And then one other thing to consider, me and Jason been keyed on around one of the other big budget items is if we want to look at trading in the Toolcat. We had it in again. I don't know what the cost was, but it's starting to become one of them nickel and dime type machines. The other thing Jason wanted to look at was, you know, can we go outside Bobcat? But the problem I think you run into is the accessories. You know,
Bobcat pretty much holds the patent.
Yes, right.
Versatility. Like, I've been around construction, I haven't seen anybody come up with anything like a Toolcat for cost wise. Toolcats, I mean, brand new are relatively cheap compared to what you're buying other brand equipment that's a little bit larger. I mean, we're talking, you know, Toolcat for, you know, what, 80 grand versus some of these things are going for, you know, $100,000, $200,000 that are doing the same thing that a Toolcat will do. So a lot of cities run with Toolcats because for the most part, they're relatively inexpensive to own and, you know, maintain until they get to a point where
right.
More often than not.
And he uses that thing quite a bit.
He does. He does not want to just get rid of it. He wants something like he said. It is extremely handy.
We can definitely look into it then.
So it'll be one of those things where maybe we start putting monies away.
That's what I was going to say.
At a minimum. Yeah, and if you have any other things, let staff know.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to bring up on the hall improvements because I've had multiple people bring it up to me, and I know we've talked about it, two different scenarios. But the last time we talked about putting AC in the hall so we can rent it out more in the summer was, it was like, what, $60,000, $70,000 for the mini splits that were like mounted to the wall that don't, you know, and that one guy came in, it was like $350,000 and we had to put in a full ceiling and all this stuff. But that was several people have come up to me about, you know, if we were to ever put AC in there that we could maybe up rates and actually rent it out.
That's more. Always on the wish list. So.
Right.
On there too. I mean, my concern is, I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer, but the question I always have, does it pay for itself? You know what I mean? If you drop $60,000 into it, what's a mini split run? 10 years? 15 if you're lucky?
Depends how much you use it, I guess.
Right. You know, how many more rentals do you need to pay for that?
Right.
And the electricity to run it? I'm not against it. It's just, is it cost effective? And that's always been the ultimate question with AC in the hall, to be honest. But yeah, it's we definitely have it on the wish list. So
would it be possible to, is the tool cap in right now?
It's done.
It's done and back here.
Yeah. We haven't got a bill yet. So we kind of want to get that bill. And then we want to look at what it's running since we've owned it, what it's cost us a year.
Yep.
So we can report that to council to look at and say, okay, here's what we're running into each year with the toolkit right now. And then with, I think a new one's, what, $80,000?
Do we know what it could year this one is?
12 or 14.
Could we have Jason just see what it's worth?
Definitely. We can do that. It's worth a pretty penny, I'm sure,
if it's a 12 or
14. Yeah. We you'll do that.
Just to have that when we do get into the nitty gritty and the budget.
Okay, then look at the trade in value.
All right.
That is not good. Hopefully we don't have any more storms. But also just want to give a quick little shout out to Miller's for the use of the grapple hooks. That was massive. They donated that to the city for the cleanup. Okay. So that was very nice of them.
Yeah, very cool.
Other than that, that's all I got.
All right. There's nothing else for new city business. We'll move on to city council reports. Councilman Poplar.
Nothing here.
Councilman Paulzini. I think going
back to storms and trees. Yep. XL has been doing a lot of work in this town. And I'm pretty sure that we pay for them to clear the lines. And I just want to live like the other half lives on this side of town and have power. And there's plenty of trees down on that side of town that have fallen into lines when they were growing into the lines. And there's still trees that are growing into the lines.
Don't they come through every so many years and trim them?
I mean,
they haven't done this since.
They haven't done this forever.
There's trees growing 4 foot through the right way.
They just did ours a couple years ago.
And this is the second time we've been down for 2 days. And you look down that line and there's parts you can't even see the line. It's like,
where would you say the worst is?
Probably from Miller's to the
across from you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, the main line goes on.
What I can do is go there and snap a few pics,
right?
Send it to our rep, and then kind of put it back on Excel. Any timeline as to when you'll be out to
trim
trees?
Yeah.
People really appreciate having electricity,
right? Well, and then the three times we've been out of power on this end of town in the last year and a half, two of them came from trees that were already growing through the line that broke off.
Yep.
One in an ice storm, and then. Not this past one, but the one before that.
Right.
A tree fell off. on it. So
I will reach out to our rep and address that.
That's the only thing. It's like before, I mean, everyone's paying for it in town to have those lines maintained by XL. So they should do it.
I also would like to put in or see that maybe work with the homeowners on them trees and maybe take some of them trees out if they wish versus all the time you get that V cut and it just looks horrible.
And so you can ask XL on that, because I know a lot of county co-ops, power district, especially in northern Minnesota, will remove the tree to the ground, but they won't take it away.
Right.
They'll bring it down to the ground for you.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's interfering with the
power. So I'll check what the options are there, because I know a lot of people complain when they do come.
Right. But I know county co-op powers do that. And I know Glencoe does that.
Okay.
Yep, good point.
Okay.
Council, you have to incur that cost if you want to put utilities underground.
You know, I have tried to beat that into XL and they say it's too costly, but I've told our rep, how much is this costing right now when you got 1,500 crews out here in the area cleaning up at double time?
Transmission line through town, new poles, new line. And they didn't do anything with the trees behind the apartment, because that's why we got started. Because
I think they did now, finally.
I see
all the brush piles.
The big brush piles by the compost over there.
Put that there, Jason's 50, but it was just stacked real nice and neat.
Well, we've already seen it. We're giving it time, hoping they're going to come. And
I think that was after they buried their truck there.
I mean, like you said, they spent all that time and money getting that line, and then, you know, we get called out and it's got a tree lit up on fire before that line finally snapped and laid across garden sheds and cars and everything else. It's like, why wouldn't you preventative maintenance? You just spent all the money, put the line, now you got all these guys back here, you know, what, a week or two after they were done?
Yeah. And
I don't know, seemed a little weird to me, but
good.
Yeah, I was just curious if the city like says, hey, we want to go underground with our utilities if we're tired of this. If that's something Excel has to, or the city.
I have tried, and I remember even years ago, with that same line that's there, tried to get that underground because they had them three vacant lots at that time, and they would not even consider it.
Hmm.
It's amazing, but I'll throw that out there again. I mean, obviously now they're not going to with that, what they just dumped into that new transmission line, you know, from Norwood to Green Isle or what, but.
Even service lines coming. From,
right.
You know, that stuff, I don't
you know that, or at least.
But everything else coming. I mean,
at least the, you know, the preventive maintenance part here of trimming the trees needs to be, you know.
Right. It's in your bill.
We want to complain about the Canadians.
Everyone in town is paying for it, so.
Your
Excel bill, there's their they have their maintenance fee in there. I mean, that's part of it.
Well, quit paying it. I'm here to
Yeah, right. Don't matter if you're out of power for 3 days. Make sure you pay your bill on time.
Yeah, and I'll let council know what it is.
I just want to be like you guys over here.
Yeah.
You can go to the good side.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Hamburg proper. Hey, got it all figured out. Right, I get it. I get it.
Power going on that side of 8 Mile, it's 2 days.
Yeah. Park Ave.
We're Wilson's drinking cold pop out of the
yeah.
You guys are in the
dark. Yeah. Bonfire in the room.
Right.
All right. Councilwoman Weber, anything?
Nothing.
All right. All I have is just to touch base on what I was going to say, what Mitch said. I couldn't be more unimpressed, and I understand. But I had a live wire across my driveway for 20 hours. Okay. Wife almost backed into it. I've got kids. I've got a dog. Didn't call at first because there was a truck in town driving around looking to assess the damage. When they finally got there to fix, well, they didn't fix it. It was the third time they were in town that day. And I saw the surprise in the guy's face when he looked at it and bleep is still hot, he said to his partner. I got the burn in my yard. Yeah. It's the shape of a candy cane.
Okay.
Then they still didn't fix it. I'm getting emails the whole time. Power will be on at 4:30, 8:30, 8:45. I'm on my way back.
Oh, sorry, the generator. Pacific time.
this is from Excel.
Oh.
And then they give you the power has been restored in your area.
Yeah, I'm on my way back with a generator.
Kept getting updates after update. Yeah. Fence kept moving.
Yeah. And I get it. They were under. But, I mean, they're in town four times.
Yeah. I think.
Well, a live power line. In anyone's yard is
that
should be.
And how do you miss that?
Right. Especially when it's sparking.
Yeah. And
And it's, yeah, I mean, just,
I'll bring that up too.
Yeah. Not real impressed, but again, that needs to be addressed. I don't know, even I'll call, but try to get a person to Xcel Energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Try. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I mean, and what are you supposed to do? Call 911? I probably should have. Hindsight.
Yes. I was just going to say that if anybody in town or council has that issue, whether it's through a storm or something, and there's a live wire down or even a wire, especially in your case, it was live wire, call 911. Because when we get there, like we ran around that night before, and then I called one in the next day. Any wire that we see, we call dispatch and say, this address, this address, this address. So yours was one address, you know. Dean Panning's was another one done by Rich and Sheehan Maltz, you know, across from the hall here. Any wire we see down, we call in, and then Xcel dispatch gives Xcel. But if you have a live wire down, you call us, we come block off the area, and we sit there until somebody comes.
Because
that is far too much of a liability for anybody. Yeah. I mean, that thing to take off and go underneath the vehicle. Like I've seen it where it's been live and just laying on the ground. And guys go to start walking around, and that thing just takes off and starts whipping around like a crazy snake. It's not something we take lightly. So if anybody ever runs into that, call 911, get us out there, and we'll, you know, make sure the area is safe and get dispatched to get a hold of Xcel so they come out, because that's an emergency issue. Like if a line's down and the power is broken and there's no juice to it, that gets pushed down. So their transmission line, they were out here like that, fixing that, and then they disappeared. And then slowly you started seeing Xcel trucks come in to do other stuff. So they prioritize everything that they do. So if they think, oh, it's a dead line, it's just laying in the grass, we're taking care of the high power transmission lines, the ones that are still dancing on the ground, and then we move on. So if anybody ever runs into an issue like that, call us, we'll come out. And then, like I said, if that thing starts dancing, gets under your car or into the house or something like that, then you have bigger problems, you know, starting fire. At least if we're there, you know, there's stuff we can do about it. That all. So call us and we'll help take care of it.
Yeah, it's good to know. And I just thought, well, this must be standard. And when I saw him flip that breaker out after that guy said, I heard, you know, stuff I didn't want him seeing in front of my kids. And he said, this bleep is still hot, he said. And I was like, yeah, I know. And my wife almost backed over it, and then Jason saw her stop, and he almost pulled in with the tool cat, and she stopped him right there, like, and you could see it sparking, arcing on the driveway. It's like I said, I don't know much about electricity, but I was pretty unimpressed with the last two times I was power. Yeah, just stay away, which we did, but that's all I have.
Well, with that, I just want to give a thank you for the fire department and their help.
Yeah.
On the cleanup. And a special thank you to Chief Siebert and to Stephen Buckentine helping us staff clear a lot of the debris off the roadways.
Gotcha.
Especially after a night of, I'm pretty sure, no sleep.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have electricity for a little while, guys, but since a while. We put the generators in the camper, we had AC, and we slept with the fans.
8 o'clock, 8 o'clock next morning was on.
Yeah.
After that,
I've seen how much, and this is the worst I have seen it in a long time, probably almost my lifetime here. And I text my boss that night already. It was probably right around 11:30 midnight. I text my boss and said, I'm not going to be in tomorrow. There's too much to do here. Jason came in because we had trees all over the road and stuff. Like, we just need to get them pushed off. So if we have a fire or something, we can get to it. And then seeing the amount of work that our guys plus Jason did, and then the next day Jason and Jeremy, and there was too much for one, let alone two guys to deal with. And William Miller and Sons donated their gravel forks and worked out nice with either me or Jason in the skid or the truck. Just constant rounds of moving, and Stephen Buckentine helped with cutting trees and getting stuff, so it worked out pretty good.
Very good. Well, it's appreciated. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, just one note. Chris said he will get, we'll get a newsletter out this week. It's one thing Chris had, so.
Okay. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Councilor Poplar, second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting at 7:55. I don't use military time. All in favor?
Councilor Poplar, aye.
Councilor Paulzine, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Assistant Mayor Tracy, aye. All opposed. City Council meeting adjourned.